Joining us in the studio on Static this evening, it is so great to welcome back to Sydney, Mike Simonetti. How's things?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing real good, and so nice to have you passing through.
We were just talking, 10 years?
It's been a long time since you've been in a 2SER. You know, you pass through in the night every now and then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you're booked to DJ now, more than 5 years after leaving Italians Do It Better, do people still expect you to play that style of music, or have they got the memo? What's it like for you when you go to the other side of the world to DJ now?
It's weird. I mean, I never played that kind of music, you know, like ever. I was a fan of it and we released it, but I play house and techno and disco, but I guess they got the memo when Pale Blue came out, you know. But yeah, they at this point, I think they all know based on mixes and stuff on the internet.
Yeah, because you were DJing out long before Italians as well.
Like since 97 for a while, yeah.
Were you playing punk and stuff out initially?
Originally, my first party ever was at this club in New York called The Knitting Factory. And it was called Contort Yourself. So it was post-punk, okay. Rap, some disco, but mostly dancey post-punk, like, you know, like Liquid, Contortions, mm-hmm. obviously. And lots of rap, old school rap and even new rap. And it was like that kind of stuff. It was all over the place, but it was very New York at the time, like 96, 97, when DFA was about to become a thing. And that was like right then when I was doing Trouble Man and we were all kind of releasing the same bands. So it was definitely like that scene.
It's almost come full circle again. I don't know where it's at.
Yeah, the Rapture are back.
Yeah.
And they're great now. They're so good. They were always the great band.
As you said, Mike, last time we spoke, I think, was for the Pale Blue record a couple of years ago. But since then, you have been releasing other stuff under your own name. And mm-hmm. last year in particular, it felt like you were looking back more through your own music. And getting somewhat nostalgic, did that sort of present itself by accident? There was an album and also a single before that. You put out a single on Correspondent that had songs called I Love You Mom and I Love You Dad. And then by the time the album came out at the end of last year, Solipsism, it had your mom in her wedding dress on the cover.
Yeah, I think it's more coincidental because I Love You Mom samples that movie Lucy. And I just thought that, I remember when I watched that movie for the first time, I was like, wow, that's a really cool line. I want to use that. And that was years ago. I think it's more coincidence that it both happened at the same time, you know? But yeah, definitely nostalgic with the album, with Solipsism. Definitely. That's basically the theme of it, you know?
Because it even bore your family crest on the cover as well.
Yeah, that was Mike from Capture Tracks' idea. A fellow Italian from New Jersey.
So were you suddenly studying more genealogy, or were your parents forethought in your mind?
For that record, yeah, I always liked it. I don't know. When I put out records, my own music, I like the album art to be opposite of what the music is. Like the Pale Blue cover. I could easily make like some album cover that looks like the music, you know, like some shoegazy looking, like, you know, birds flying, you know, or like for Solipsism could have been like a car driving at night with the lights on or something. But I like doing the opposites just because it makes it a whole other dimension. You know, you're like, oh, okay, I understand where he's coming from. So.
But it's also a very personal thing to have your family album on the cover of your album.
Yeah, that album is very, you know, that album and the Pale Blue album were both, well, Solipsism kind of ends the chapter. And the Pale Blue album was like the beginning of the ending, you know. But now that's all behind me. Those two albums are from my Italians days, so.
It's almost like you've been doing a lot of navel gazing, if not shoegazing, yeah. Mike. Because Solipsism itself was a pretty fascinating project. Its meaning, of course, is that you believe that your own mind only exists and nothing else, or everything outside of your own mind might not be real.
Right, yeah. It's like this. It's such a fascinating thing to me because, like, I remember when I was a kid, I used to feel this way. I would sit in my bed and, like, almost cry, thinking, like, what if I'm the only person in this world and this is all, like, for me? This is like, what if you're not even here right now? What if this is all just a dream or something?
You weren't watching too many late night sci-fi thrillers or something, were you?
I was like 10 years old.
Were there Twilight Zone episodes on that were freaking you out?
I was never allowed to watch Twilight Zone. I was just definitely thinking too much, I think, in bed when I was a kid. But I still get that. It's such a weird concept to me, you know? It's really freaky to me, that whole idea that sometimes I just feel like, you don't feel that way? You ever just like get these weird things like, why is this all here? Like, is it here for me?
You must think about that a lot when you're putting records together as well. Yeah. And, you know, thinking about how other people are going to perceive them or...
Right. And that whole idea can also be about another person.
Thinking about you.
No, like another person who I used to work with who
yeah, right.
felt like he was the center of the world, even though he wasn't. Yeah.
But putting that record together was sort of you clearing out your hard drive, right? This stuff was sort of in the corner of the room, like the elephant in the room that you had to sort of get out of the way for yourself.
Yeah, that's almost everything. There's like two other songs that were never released that I still have. And there was one, actually a third, which was with, you know, Botton?
Yeah, Botton, yeah, from out of Italy.
Yeah, we both collaborated on it. It never really came together. And there's like that too, but that's it. I mean, I think that's everything for the most part.
Is that a relief?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to, I don't know, I don't want to sound like I'm like, you know, I'm not bitter. I just wanted to prove a point. Like, my influence on, because it's such a huge thing now, the whole, that whole world is so big now, the whole Chromatics world. And it's like, it was mainly my, like, the music influence was me. Like, I taught them, I taught Johnny so much about me. He had no idea about anything. House music, disco, nothing. Soundtracks, he didn't know anything. All he knew about was punk and, like, goth and stuff. And, you know, those songs were written before Chromatics album was written. It was written 15 years ago, a lot of it. So
it's amazing what a time capsule it is. For people who haven't heard it, it's a lot of Atmos rock and chugging sort of glam disco and stuff like that, which you had also made partly to maybe be used for soundtracks.
Yeah, well, that was, most of that was going to be used for Death Wish. They remade Death Wish with Bruce Willis. And the original Death Wish remake was going to be like a cool, hip,
right,
you know, drive style remake, but it went the total opposite direction.
So you dodged that bullet in a way. I didn't even know they'd remade Death Wish with Bruce.
Exactly,
Bruce Willis.
I didn't
missed
know.
Me.
I never knew it came until I was on an airplane and I was like, "Holy shit, they remade Death Wish!" I had no idea. And I watched it. It was so bad, you know. And the music was like your typical Hollywood music. And this was supposed to be like, you know, the drive, the next drive thing.
It's also incredible how Solipsism is recorded, what, 2006 to 2013?
Yeah.
And when you hear it now, it predates so much of that Hollywood John Carpenter knockoff synth stuff, which is so common these days as well.
Yeah,
now,
I mean,
did hearing the Stranger Things soundtrack make you think, hey, well, I was ahead of the curve here?
I don't want to get into the Stranger Things thing because there's a Pale Blue song that they pretty much borrow.
Note for noted.
Yeah, that song, Tougher, it's like a Bruce Springsteen, it's a Bruce Springsteen cover, but they... It's the same exact song, but slow down. But to Johnny's credit, he was making music like this as well back then. We were doing it together. But mine was always, I was always much more dark. My music has always been much more darker. Like, that was kind of like, you know, he was more of like the glammy.
The showman sort of
stuff. Yeah, and I was always like just a guy in a corner, like playing, making his dark music, you know. And it never, I mean, Capricorn Rising was the only album that came out. And that's much more, at the time, it was the darkest thing. On a Time to Do It Better, you know, it was pretty dark.
It was interesting how much of a palate cleanser the Pale Blue record felt a couple of years ago as well. And I hope you're still chipping away at the second record, because that's
we are. I mean,
such
released,
a fascinating project.
Yeah, we've released a couple of records, you know, 12 inches since then. You know, we did one on Crosstown Rebels. Like, the way we're doing Pale Blue now is we're releasing a bunch of 12 inches with other labels, and then we're working on a full length. But I want to distance myself from that scene. I wanted to put out music that's more like in the club music, in the club world. So we're doing that. So that's why, like, Crosstown Rebels is such polar opposite to A Time to Do It Better. I mean, it's a whole other world. And so, you know, and even the sound was a lot different, and, you know, the drama behind that whole album. And I just wanted to make everything totally, you know, line in the sand. This is not, it looks nothing like it. It sounds nothing like Italians. It's a whole other world, you know?
I was convinced that was your This Mortal Coil, Mike. I think I said it to you at the time, you know? It had the 4AD-looking artwork.
Yeah.
And since then, you've even done a cover of Big Stars 13, which is beautiful. I hope you find room for that on the next record.
Yeah. We have... There's a lot of songs written, like, halfway. Like, there's about 7 songs, just piano and vocals, which I don't know what to do with them. And there's, like, 4 or 5 dance tracks, and there's some other weird... There's like one pop song which we might release, but I'm not really good at writing pop songs, so I don't know if it's good enough.
Well, the pop song on the last record ended up being the accidental hit, so
yeah,
it might not hurt to have it on there.
It's weird. I mean, the cover art was actually the influence was them. Everyone see the movie The Ice Storm?
Yes,
that's like the influence of the cover art. It's kind of like very, it's all right there for you to, you know, it's all there if you could kind of read between the lines. But
I'm so glad also that now, of course, you have an empty hard drive so you can fill it up again rapidly.
It's full of Pale Blue songs now.
Good.
And there's also 5 or 6 songs for a solo album, another album, but it's a whole different thing than the other one. It's going to be like very emo, I guess you can say, but not nostalgic emo, just melodic.
Your Las Vegas piano ballads crooner record. It's coming, right?
I wish.
Well, it's so great to have you passing through Sydney. We might have a listen to Solipsism, the title track of the record that came out at the end of last year. But do come back again. And this has whetted my appetite for Pale Blue, so I can't wait,
yeah,
Mike.
When we get off the air, I'll play you some stuff if you want to hear it.
All right, nice one. We won't leak it. This is Mike Simonetti now on Static, and thanks for the chat.
Thank you.